And this morning, sorry, we will camp in Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Before we start, let's go to the Lord in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We all carry burdens, some spoken, some hidden. You know each one of our burdens. You know the weight we bear. We ask you in this morning, please open our ears to hear your word. Open our hearts to receive your truth. And by your Spirit, sweep us into the story you are telling, the story of Emmanuel, God with us. Speak, O Lord. Your servants here are listening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This morning, we all have something with us. We all brought something with us. Maybe a diagnosis. Maybe a phone call that we are greeting. Maybe an empty chair at our table this year. And in this time of Christmas, this kind of things in some way become harder. Christmas is in 4 days, and the world is singing joy to the world. O come Emmanuel, or Silent Night. None of those were sung today, right? But our hearts know something the carols don't say. Life is hard. And sometimes promises feel like problems. But in this morning, Matthew will introduce us to a man who understood about this. And his name is Joseph. And his story tells us that God fulfills his promises even through the very circumstances that seem to threaten them. This morning, we'll walk through Joseph's story in 3 movements. The first one is when God promises look like problems. The second one, when God speaks into a crisis. And the third one, when faith replaces fear. So this will be like a hymn. And we will read it as a hymn then. We will start with the first 2 verses about when God promises look like problems. Sorry. Let me read verses 18 and 19. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. It's pretty interesting that Matthew starts saying, now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. And when he opens that and when he unpacks that way, you can summarize it in one word. Crisis. Crisis. Mary was engaged to Joseph in the Jewish culture. The engagement was legally binding. to the point that dissolving an engagement required a process of divorce. They were engaged, and for sure they had dreams, they had plans, they have love for each other. And before they became husband and wife, it turned out that Mary was pregnant. Just imagine the life of Joseph at that moment. And I'm saying Joseph because the passage, the emphasis of the passage is in Joseph, but the life of Mary was not easy at that moment as well. But this was a devastating twist in his life. Let's put ourselves in Joseph's sandals for a moment. He knew that the child was not his. His marriage, his family, his future with this woman suddenly seemed to be falling apart. Not knowing that that child was of the Holy Spirit, what thought would naturally invade Joseph's mind? Infidelity. Betrayal. Because he didn't know. And what other answer could be to this situation? It was a devastating moment for him. And Matthew tells us that Joseph was a righteous man, verse 19. A man who cared about doing what was right before God. And the law of God was clear. Infidelity was or is a serious matter. On the one hand, the Jewish law left Mary subject to a possible death penalty. On the other hand, Roman law also threatened men who refused to divorce his wife on the grounds of her infidelity. But Matthew also tells us that Joseph was merciful. He didn't want to shame her. So he found another way, a quiet divorce, breaking off the engagement privately. In this way, he would protect her. He would protect her dignity. So he decided to walk away. What about Mary? She was waiting. With Joseph walking away, things would not be different for her. She was carrying the promised Messiah in her body, knowing the truth. But at the same time, being unable to prove it. Her future depended on what God would do. And this was human wisdom at its best. The righteousness of Joseph really was coupled with mercy. But this helps us to understand that we are unable. We by ourselves are unable to understand the plan of the Lord, to do what really pleases the Lord. Joseph was doing what any godly man would have done at that moment. And yet he was about to divorce the mother of the Messiah. His most righteous instincts, his most merciful impulses were leading him to the wrong conclusion. But from Joseph's perspective, this pregnancy was a problem. But from God's perspective, this pregnancy was a promise. Joseph already had a plan, but God had also something to say. Let's go to the second movement. When God speaks into a crisis, verses 20 to 23. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. This situation was consuming Joseph's mind. Pay attention to what the text says. But as he considered these things, it's not that it was already done. Oh, no, now I know what I'm going to do. No, this thing was in his mind. He was struggling. God's messenger did not come when Joseph had already figured out or when he was already in peace about it. In these days, sometimes when we don't want to deal with a problem, it's very common to hear, oh, but now I have peace with that. Even with that doesn't solve anything. But he was not at peace with that situation. The angel came with the message from God in the midst of Joseph's confusion. When he was trying to process the situation, when he was wrestling with his own thoughts, the Lord sent his angel. And what did the angel call Joseph? Joseph, son of David. This is not just an ancient greeting. It was very common that when someone was introduced, you mentioned his name and the name of his father or an ancestor. But this was not just an ancient greeting. This was much more than that. And we know it because of the context. If you read the first 17 verses, that we find here a genealogy. And in verse 2, we read, Abraham was the father of Isaac. In verse 6, we read, and Jesse, the father of David, the king, and David was the father of Solomon. And in verse 16, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom Jesus was born, who is called Christ. So when the angel came, excuse me, and call him Joseph, son of David, he is telling him, you need to remember, you need to understand who you are. Joseph was a son of Abraham. Joseph was a son of David. The royal line was through him. I was not planning to say this, but many weeks ago, we were studying about the covenant of grace. And when we were studying the covenant of grace, remember that there was a constant promise, the promise of a son. And it started at the garden. The offspring of a woman. Same with Abraham. And there was another, again, the promise of a son for David. And now we find here in the life of Joseph. The angel is telling Joseph, this is the promise, son. The Messiah was coming to this family. The royal line runs through you, Joseph, in other words. The Messiah must be here to David's throne, and you are God's provision for that, Joseph. Sometimes when we see a disaster, what really is happening is that God is putting things in order. He is fulfilling his purpose, showing his goodness. In other words, what the angel was saying to Joseph is, you thought this child was disrupting your story, Joseph, but the truth is your story exists to serve his. And the message of the angel has two parts. This is a passage with a lot of details. The first part of the message is negative. Negative in the sense that he says to Joseph, do not fear, in verse 20. Do not fear to take Mary as your wife. It's so beautiful to see here that God names Joseph's fear and removes it. Not with a rebuke, but with a reason. And the reason was, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. In other words, what he's saying to Joseph is, your fears is grounded in a misunderstanding. You are in fear because you don't know what is happening. Brothers, sisters, sometimes we don't know. Many times we don't know what's happening, but the Lord does. He is in control all the time. All the time. Then the angel gives a positive announcement. And here is where everything turns when he says, she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins. Let's pay attention to this. He will save his people from their sins. Not from Rome. Not from difficulties. Not from poverty. He promised salvation from sin. Sin. The change we cannot break. The debt we cannot pay. He and no other. He is the one who saved us from our sins. But do you hear what the angel is saying here? This is not only a stop being afraid. Really, what he's saying is, rejoice, Joseph. Rejoice in what the Lord is doing in your life. Because the Messiah that has been promised in the very beginning is coming to your family. This is not a betrayal. This is the faithfulness of the Lord. This is not a crisis to be managed. This is a promise to be celebrated. The Messiah is here. And you, Joseph, you are called to name him. It's interesting because by naming Jesus, Joseph officially accepted the legal paternity and made Mary's son, made Jesus Christ, his own. At that time, naming a child was the father's right, a sign of authority over the child. And although Jesus was also biologically the son of David through Mary, the fulfillment of the prophecy that we heard in Isaiah 7 was through Joseph, as was the legal transmission of his right to the throne of David. And then Matthew says, verse 22, all this took place. Pay attention to all this, not just the virgin birth. All this difficult situation, the betrothal, the pregnancy discovered, Joseph crisis, Mary's waiting, the angels, Mary's waiting, the angels' intervention, all these difficult situations was part of the purpose of the Lord. All this was part of his promise. This sign was first offered to a faithless king who refused it. Now it finds its true home in a faithful carpenter. A faithful carpenter is the one who will first enjoy in his family the Emmanuel, which means God with us. Verse 23, we read, behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. Have you noticed two names? Jesus, Emmanuel. Jesus, which means Yahweh saves, and Emmanuel, which means God with us. The child who saves is the God who stays. He doesn't rescue from a distance. He comes near to us. He enters into our crisis. He is with us. And how does he come? Through the very circumstances. That sometimes seem to threaten the promises. This is what the angel revealed to Joseph. You thought this child was interfering in your story, Joseph. But the truth is that you are being swept into his. Let's move to the third moment, verses 24 and 25. When Joseph woke up from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. No delay, no hesitation. Joseph woke up and obeyed. He didn't wake up saying, wait a minute, what's happening here? I'm not as easily convinced just because I had a dream. No. God spoke through the angel. He believed. He obeyed. His emotions were noise that he decided to silence in order to hear God. And Matthew shows us what that obedience looked like. First, Matthew says, Joseph took Mary as his wife. The man who had decided to divorce her in secret now received her publicly. No more fear. Faith. No more doubt. This doesn't mean that it was easy for Joseph. We need to notice the cost of this. we need to notice that the explanation of the angel in that dream was only for Joseph. The people did not have that dream. This was not a dream for all the town. This was not broadcast through YouTube or... No, this was just for Joseph. They saw, what the people saw was a carpenter marrying a pregnant woman. His faith cost him his reputation. And this was something that lasted. If we read John chapter 8, verse 41, Jesus is talking with some Pharisees. And they said to Jesus, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one Father, even God." The problem was not the virgin birth in that time. The problem was with the paternity of Joseph being accepted. Sometimes there will be a high cost of obeying in faith. But we know what the Lord is doing. And we can trust him in his purpose. We know that he is in control. Second, Matthew says, he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son. I will say it simply as this. Joseph respected God's work and honored the prophecy of a virgin birth. He did not know her until she gave birth. Third, the text says he called his name Jesus. In that culture, it was important for the father to choose the name. It was his right, his mark of authority over the child. But Joseph, he knew that this son was the Son of God. So the one who gave the name, or the two names to this son, was his father, God. And God said through the angel, his name will be Jesus. His name will be Emmanuel. So that is his name. This child was the Lord and Savior of Joseph. But what we see here is this was not the Joseph in crisis anymore. God spoke, and now this is the Joseph who believed. This morning we have seen these three stanzas. When promises look like problems, when God speaks into a crisis, when faith replaces fear. But this is not only for Joseph's story. We all are here carrying our own burdens. And some of these burdens are very heavy. But we need to remember that the child born to Mary has two names. One for each burden we can carry. His name is Jesus, which means Yahweh saves. And maybe you have been trying to save yourself, trying to be a good person, trying to work harder, doing better, managing your guilt with good intentions and moral effort. if that is your case, let me tell you what the angel told to Joseph. A Savior has come. He saves from sin. You cannot break those chains. You cannot pay that debt. He and no other is the one who was sent to set you free from that bondage. Stop striving. Come to Jesus. He will save you from your sins. But he has another name, Emmanuel, God with us. Maybe you're not trying to earn anything. You're just tired. Maybe you're alone or sick. Maybe you realize this morning that you have been relying on your own wisdom or even on your fear more than on God's word. And this Emmanuel is not a God who sends a memo from heaven. He comes in person. He enters into our mess. He sits with the lonely. He stays with the sick. He meets us in our confusions and says, "Do not fear." He is with us. Whether you need a Savior or His presence, what we need to see in this passage is we find both in the same child. And He invites us to be part of His story. Your crisis is not the end of the song. It's just a stanza. The song is not yours. It's Emmanuel's. You are not an interruption in God's story. You are being swept into it. The carols are being sung. And this morning, by faith, we can also sing. Not because life is not hard. Life is still hard. But God is with us. And He keeps His promises, even through the very circumstances that seem to threaten them. So, New Life Fellowship, dear family, rejoice in Emmanuel. Rejoice in Jesus. Would you pray with me? Lord Jesus, You are the Yahweh who saves. You are Emmanuel, God with us. And in this morning, we confess that we have trusted in our wisdom so many times. This morning, we confess that we have let fear lead where faith should reign. Oh, Lord, we have tried to manage what only You can redeem. Forgive us, Lord. Thank You for not leaving us alone to our own plans. Thank You for speaking into our confusion. Thank You for fulfilling Your promises, even through circumstances that seem to threaten them. Lord, we have heavy burdens. Draw near. Oh, Lord, we struggle a lot. Break through, Lord. And sometimes fear just captures our lives. Please, God, replace that fear with faith. Write our lives into Your story. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who saved His people from their sins. Amen.